Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm of course William Ammo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey man, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right. And I'd like to tell everybody Happy Thanksgiving. Happy New Year. I don't know if you guys heard about the Redskins owner, Dan Snyder, basically wished everybody a happy Thanksgiving, on like January 2nd. So.
Oh, wow. That's a big mistake there.
Yeah. When he was, presenting Ron Rivera as the new head coach, he basically, he took off his glasses for dramatic effect and said, folks, I would like to, wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. So yeah, that's not a good sign,
Wow.
but all seriousness, I want to thank you guys for another year, I want to wish you guys a happy New Year. This guy almost got me saying Thanksgiving for real. I almost said this time for real. But yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful and blessed Happy New Year, 2020, future, we're in the future, man. Who would have thought, in the 90s, once 2000 came around, Y2K, and then, 2020, when you thought of 2020, you think of, like, Barbara Walters and Hugh Downs. I mean, yeah. Obviously, the show's still on the air, but, back in the days, during the TGIF days, but... Yeah, we're here. 2020 is here. So,
new decade.
So, I'm just blessed to be with you, man, and the fans, to usher in this new era. So, on this show, we're going to talk, we're going to do what we always do. We're going to talk sports, entertainment, everything else. You guys all know the number. Love to hear from you. We're going to talk about NFL, the NFL wild card week, the Patriots are playing right now. They're hosting the Titans. We're going to talk about Texans beating the Bills and all those other games. Of course, we're going to talk about Dylan Betances finally, signing with the Mets and having the press conference. And as a result of that signing, which team I believe have the best bullpen, in the game right now. We'll also talk about the Knicks, how they're doing under Mike Miller. WWE, Bobby Lashley and Lana's wedding. We'll talk about the controversy surrounding it. And, of course, we'll talk about anything you guys would like to talk about. So, we'd love to hear from you. But, I guess let's talk about the Betances signing right now, and then we'll dive into the NFL, the NFL, weekend that we're having right now.
Okay.
Oh, shoot, my room almost fell. But what was I going to say? The Dylan Betances signing went down Thursday afternoon. As you all know, and as of course Macaulay knows, mm-hmm. Betances was, that great hurling, guy out of bullpen. He was primarily a setup man in his career. He occasionally started, he was a phenomenal setup guy. As a closer, he's had his ups and downs, of course. A local guy, And you know, he pitched one game last year, in September. You know, he missed most of the year because of I think he had an arm injury, and then afterwards, once he struck out the only two guys he faced this year, he did a celebratory leap, then land on it awkwardly, and I think he injured his his Achilles or his heel or something on his, you know, he injured his foot. And yeah, injuring his foot, we're gonna talk about that momentarily with his new teammate who's trying to make his Met debut in the past couple of years. We're gonna get into that as well. But Betances, man, unlike Diaz, you know, this guy, you know, he's battle tested in New York. You know, he's a local guy. Obviously, he spent his entire career with the Yankees, so we know him pitching in New York isn't going to be a problem. And you know, with a guy like that with that potential, you know, he could definitely bolster the Mets' bullpen that, you know, coming into last year was supposed to be a strength instead of their Achilles heel, you know. But for that to happen, we you know, the Mets definitely need a bounce back from Diaz and Familia and then the other guys to do what they were doing last year. You know, Brad Brock, you know, pitched the way he did last year. Justin Wilson, Gesselman bouncing back as well. Lugo, who was the MVP out of the pen. And if they could do that, you know, they could be the best team in the NL East, you know, bullpen wise, and you know, and dare I say even major leagues. But it's all hinging on Diaz and Familia getting a bounce back, and that's not a guarantee. You know, we'll see what happens. And of course, to me, you know, going to last year, the best bullpen was you know, the Yankees and the Astros, and of course, you know, they battled it out as expected. So, you know, basically Mets are gonna need some bounce back years from their bullpen guys and help to be a factor, because the Mets, you know, you would have thought having a career year out of Alonso, a rookie, no less. You got McNeil, who hit 23 home runs out of nowhere. He hit 23 home runs. This guy was supposed to be a punching Judy, you know, like a singles type hitter. You know, that's still an old term. You know, this guy, no one was expecting this guy to hit 23 home runs, you know. So, if they could get, you know, I'm trying to remember, Rosario, he finally lived up to his potential, you know. So, you got Alonso, you got Conforto, who finally stayed healthy. Hit at least 30 home runs for the first time in his career. You know, with guys like that having career years, you thought the Mets, you know, in addition to the starting rotation staying healthy, you'd have thought that would have automatically got them a postseason berth. But you know, that wasn't the case because you know, the bullpen didn't hold up. You know what I'm saying? So, the Mets are, you know, and not to mention they lost Wheeler to the Phillies. So, you know, yeah, they did sign Porcello, they did sign Waka, but, you know, you're expecting bounce backs from those guys too. So, there's a lot of what if from this Mets team in order for them to compete. And for me, for them to be complete, they should try to sign Daniel Hudson, you know, out of stealing from the Nationals. You know, after the Nationals signed Will Harris, you know, another guy like I would have liked the Mets to sign, you know, to bolster that bullpen, because the less ifs that they have in the bullpen, you know, the better that team's going to be, because on paper they're the fourth best team. You know, as good as the Mets was, they were 86-win team, but everybody else improved. You know, so to me, they got to make some, since they're most likely not going to make any home run moves, they got to make some minor moves to help them, you know, along the way. You know, at the minimum, sign Russell Martin, have his veteran leadership, a guy who's battle testing a postseason, you know, have him come off the bench, you know, to back up Ramos. Sign Daniel Hudson, or even Alariano, who is a great starting pitcher with the Twins, but he's been in the pen lately. Or even Edwin Jackson, another guy who's a former starter, but, you know, he's pitched out of pen the past couple of years. They need to make some moves like that, some small moves, and, you know, if they could somehow by some miracle get a Marte or Mookie Betts without giving up, you know, the core guys that ends with O, you know, in their last names, you know, the Mets will be okay. But, you know, you got to give up something to get something. So they got to make, if they're not going to make the home run moves, they got to make the small moves, you know, to get them to that, to get them in striking distance of the Nationals, Phillies, and Braves, who on paper are still better than them. What's your thoughts?
I thought the Mets signing potential was a good move. He throws hard. You know, he's one of the best, when healthy, he's one of the best relievers in the game. So I think that was a great addition to that bullpen. But as you mentioned, yeah, I mean, they just need to add more depth to that bullpen. And I'd like to see the Mets add, you know, some more utility guys as well to the team. But the Betances signing, definitely A+.
I'm with you for sure. And, you know, shifting gears, NFL right now, the Patriots,
on the verge of losing.
Yeah, they're on the verge of losing. 2-minute warning.
Mm-hmm.
And the Titans have the ball still.
Yeah, now so, Patriots don't have any more timeouts.
Yeah, so now it's really getting dire. You know, they
well, actually, it looks like Patriots are saving their one timeout.
Yeah, the Titans, man, they got to score here.
Well, Titans don't have to score. They can run out the clock.
Well, I mean, that too, yeah.
Patriots do have one timeout left, so they can use their last timeout, I guess, if the Titans don't fail to get a first down. Mm-hmm. But right now, the clock is winding down, so.
Yeah, it's 1:14 as we're calling it right now. It looks like they're slightly behind the line of scrimmage for the third down. They're 3-9. It's really getting dire it looks like Titans called the timeout. Yeah.
Was it the Titans or was it the
Patriots?
No,
actually it's Patriots.
Yeah.
There's two, the Titans have two. Patriots have no timeouts anymore, so that's not a good sign for them, you know.
If the Titans get a first down here, game's over.
Yeah. This is where they gotta make the move here, right here.
Yeah. So the Titans get this, they could just wind down the clock.
All right, let's see.
Ran the ball. Why? They should have just passed it and get it. Well,
exactly.
But then again, they don't want to risk an interception because they're like in Patriots. They're in their territory still, so.
They need a better pass than that. They run right into the defense. They only gained 3 yards on that play.
Wow. So now Brady is only going to have about 25 seconds, I think. The Patriots only have 25 seconds to play with. So they're going to have to make some deep throws.
They got to make sure they get this kick first. Yeah, make sure they get a perfect kick to kick it out of the way. Titan, you only got one job.
25 seconds left.
Mhm. And you gotta be careful for a special team to try to, you know, run it, you know, in the end zone, man. Because the Patriots, man, they time is unlike, you know, their past. Unlike from 2001 to now, time is always on their side.
Yeah.
Right now, it's not. If the Patriots somehow win this game, they might as well, the other teams might as well just fold up shop.
Well, I like Titans' chances right now. You know, all they have to do is just a couple, just in a few stops. Wow, they stopped it at the one.
They stopped it at the one.
That was nice.
Perfect kick. So Brady only has 15 seconds.
Wow.
To try to help this team score, or at least get into field goal range for them to get a kick. But that doesn't look like they're – well, they don't even have time out, so they have to just score here.
Man, Ryan Tannehill has played a good game. Tannehill and Derrick Henry, who's rushed for a franchise record, I think over 170 yards, he just ran through the Patriots defense.
Mm.
Oh man!
What a cool first time to make a hold on. You know he's gonna try to do a Hail Mary pass right here. Oh! They got the ball and the touchdown.
Oh!
Oh my goodness! It's over. It's over, folks. The dynasty is over.
Wow!
Oh my goodness! With 9 seconds left into the ball game.
Wow.
The Titans score.
The dynasty is over.
Oh, man. That's it. That's the nail in the coffin. Oh, man. They're posing. They're styling and profiling. Oh, man. Tom Brady is doing a walk we've never seen him do before. He's walking off the field defeated in the wild card. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
With the interception. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. And, you know, funny thing is, the Titans had a chance to intercept a similar play like that earlier in the game, and they failed. But this time they don't fail.
Oh, man.
So if the Patriots lose, does Tom Brady retire? I mean,
he might be able to accomplish. Because this is two games in a row that he has back-to-back pick six. You know, interceptions turn to a touchdown. You know, he had one against Miami. Yeah, man, wow, this is – man, I don't think he's going to retire, to be honest with you. I don't think he's going to want to end on a sour taste in his mouth like that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to retire like this. I don't even think he's going to bolt New England. Where is he going to go? It's not like he's going to go to the Giants. I just don't see it. I don't see him leaving the Patriots.
No.
For what? The Titans are going to...
Well, then he's getting up there in age. And, you know, this year he didn't have a great season. But, you know, they still finished with a good record. But the guy doesn't have anything more to accomplish. I mean...
He doesn't.
So...
If he retires, he's always going to retire on top, you know.
Yeah.
But... Obviously, this would not be the way he'd want to end it. But, you know, there's another firm to lay his head on, you know. He had a great career.
Yeah.
Phenomenal career. And they're trying to go for the two-point conversion, and it was no good.
Wow, so the score here is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They need a long Hail Mary.
Yeah. Long Hail Mary pass with this for them to.
So Brady's a free agent once the season ends. Unrestricted.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's gonna be 43 in August, and first time in his career he's gonna be a free agent. But I just don't see him leaving New England unless if he's retiring.
Right, of course.
There's no point. There's
no.
No,
he's not. He's not gonna go to another team. That's not.
Yeah, there's no point. They're just trying to keep the ball going. They're trying to keep the ball going.
Game over.
And
that's
the
it?
Ball game is over.
Wow.
The Tennessee Titans advance and stun the NFL world by
wow.
defeating the Patriots in New England at Gillette Field by the final score of 20-13. Who would have thought
crazy.
That?
That
Ryan
crazy.
Tannehill had the game of his life. And
wow.
the Tennessee Titans win only their second postseason game in the last 16 years.
Yeah.
And they'll never have a bigger one than that unless if they win it all. And this is the first, man, this is their first postseason loss in New England since the 2012 playoffs.
Yep.
Mm. Man.
So we'll see if Brady comes back next year or not. We shall see.
Yep. It's going to be interesting to see. So, breaking news, folks. The dynasty is over. Tom Brady, you know, he suddenly loses at home, and now his career is uncertain whether he's gonna return to New England or retire. I don't think him leaving New England is ever an option. And man. The Titans came in enemy territory and got this unlikely victory. That's why you play the games, man. You never know.
Yep.
Held the Patriots at 13 points. Shoot. But, yeah, congratulations to the Tennessee Titans. Man, this
yeah,
is the first
congrats.
Time Patriots, you know, played a wild card game in like 10 years.
Yeah.
But next Sunday is going to be Houston versus Kansas City and then Tennessee versus Baltimore. And Houston, they defeated the Bills earlier today. You checked it out?
What?
You checked out the game, the Bills versus...
Oh, yeah. I was watching it. Yeah, that was a close game in the end. The Bills had that game. They had that game won throughout until the fourth quarter when the Texans decided to go on a 19-0 run. And then the game went to overtime, and the Texans ended up winning that. So now the Texans will face the Chiefs, but I don't think they have any chance against the Chiefs. I think right now... the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, even though Baltimore has a better record. But I think the Chiefs will go to the Super Bowl like they were supposed to last year.
And, I know our friend Zoran, man. He's a huge Bills fan, man. I'm sure he's not happy about this loss here.
Yeah,
but
bad loss, but, you know. In postseason, it's anything can happen, man.
Mm-hmm.
You just saw it.
Yep, the Patriots right here is living proof.
Yep.
Now all the AFC teams are playing golf now.
Yep.
But this has already been an interesting and exciting playoffs already. Yeah, that's what people love about the NFL. You know, there's a lot of parity. You know, unlike NBA, where you basically know the teams that are playing each other. with the exception of the Warriors, who are having a horrible year because of, you know, especially because of the Thompson injury and the Durant defection. You know, it's basically the same teams over and over again, always battling it out. But in the NFL, you know, you got a smart run organization. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
You turn around your fortunes like that. But yeah, speaking of those Knicks, the Knicks, they've been playing a lot better lately. They had their three game winning streak snapped. I mean, when was the last time we talked about the Knicks having a three game winning streak? Probably Obama was still president. Probably that was the last time they had a three game winning streak when Obama was still president. You know.
Wait, they lost?
Yeah, they lost yesterday to the Suns.
Oh, I didn't see that game. I missed that.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember what happened. I think Morris, you know, he had, I think, 25 points. But, you know, it was to no avail. Suns was leading most of the game. Knicks led, I think, at some point. But then, you know, the Suns, you know, once they took the lead, you know, that was basically it, you know. So, yeah, basically, the Knicks, they've been playing a lot better under Mike Miller. You know, he's 6-6 with the Knicks, man. I mean, the Knicks, man, you know, they're not that far away from the eighth seed. That's how horrible the league is, man. You know. You know, the Knicks are like, I think last time I checked, they were like five games out from the eighth spot. But
yeah, well, I mean, their record still isn't that good to begin with, but
horrible.
They could they could still possibility, you know, for a lot of games to go that could they could at least get the eighth seed, so.
Yeah, but the problem is, Knicks don't need to win the eighth seed because they're not going to challenge anybody. The point of them getting an eighth seed is just a hollow victory. The worst thing that's going to happen to them is they're going to be out of the lottery. You know.
Yeah. Well, you want to be in the lottery every year? I mean.
No, I don't want to be in the lottery every year. But it's best to be in the lottery every year until you build up a team that once you get out of it, you could, you know, make some noise in the playoffs.
True.
They're not ready. They're not ready to go to the playoffs. They're not ready to go to the playoffs. You know, do we want them to keep getting swept, or win at a miracle, win a game in the first round and then get knocked out? They need to trust the process and you know, build a team with some young, hungry guys and some veterans, man. And, you know, a guy who should be part of this rebuilding / retooling, you know, in a few years, it should be Marcus Morris, because, you know, he openly said that he wants to be part of the solution. He wants to turn it around. He prefers to stay. Unlike, you know, some of these players on the team, allegedly Dennis Smith Jr. is one of the players who wants to, you know, leave, you know. They're tired of the losing situation. They want to leave. They feel they could get better playing time, you know. So, hey, they want to go, they can go. So, on my list of people who can stay, you know, you got to keep the young guys. You got to keep Mitchell Robinson, who scored like 22 points, you know, not too long ago. You know, that guy's the future, man. He's just scratching the surface of his talent. You know, that big. That's the big that the Knicks, you know, they need, man. That's the guy who they thought they were getting when they got Eddie Curry a decade ago. You know, this is the guy that they need to hold on to. And they definitely need to hold on to Kevin Knox. You know, that's a young, talented dude. Of course, RJ Barrett, that goes without question. you know, hold on to Marquis Morris, who's having a great year right now.
Oh, yeah.
Averaging like 18 points.
You said Randall, right?
And yeah, I was just about to say, and Randall. You know, Randall, he's arguably the best player of the team, you know. So, unless if you're bowled over for Randall, because Randall's making, I think, 3 years, $66 million, you know. You know, unless if you're getting something, a good talent, you know, you should hold on to a Randall and not make a horrible trade just for the sake of dumping salary or anything like that. But we'll see what happens with this team. Because right now they got to be careful, man. They need to build upon the success. But if they're trying to make the playoffs, man, they got to make the right moves for them to elevate them. Because if they're just an eighth seed and they're pretenders, they're not, you know, anything. They're not gonna amount to anything. Then it's gonna ruin the process, because they need as many lottery, like top lottery picks, to change their franchise around, because there's no superstar players that's gonna save them. You know what I'm saying? They gotta keep their head down and just get to work and get themselves out of this situation.
Yeah, but you know, I think I they're playing real well now with what they have. I mean, I don't think they should tank. Just tank the season.
No. I'm not saying the tank. No.
Yeah, if they win enough games to make the playoffs, I mean, that's a good thing, you know.
Well, yeah, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2013. I'm not saying the tank. I would never.
Even if they get swept, I mean, it's still an improvement from the last several years.
No, I'm sorry, getting swept in the playoffs is not an improvement.
Well, just making it to the playoffs is an improvement for the Knicks.
Theoretically speaking, yes. Theoretically speaking, going to make it into the playoffs after they haven't made it in the playoffs for like 6 years, yes, that is an accomplishment.
Making it to the playoffs, I mean, even if you get swept, you made it to the playoffs at least.
Nah,
and then you can build
sorry.
On that. But you don't want to like keep. You don't want to keep losing games every year and then trying to rely on the drafts and free agents to improve your team. Because that hasn't worked for the Knicks the last decade, you know?
I'm with you, but I slightly disagree with you that they have you know what I'm saying? Like, they have to if they're gonna make the playoffs, they have to at least win one game. I mean, one game is not hard to ask. I'm not asking them to win a series. Win a game. Just win one game. Try not to embarrass us and not let us get swept. Just one game. That's how much the bar has been set low, you know, for this franchise. Back in the days,
if they go to the playoffs and don't win any games, that's still a major improvement for the Knicks.
Okay,
the Knicks aren't supposed to win. I mean, if they go to the playoffs and get swept, I mean, what do you call that? Do you call that a failed season? You can't call it a failed season because they weren't expected to make it to the playoffs to begin with, right?
I say it's a failed performance. I wouldn't say it's a failed season because, like,
what do you call the season?
What happened?
What do you call the season if they make the playoffs and get a swept?
Generally speaking, I'd say that's a disappointment, but. In this case, since they haven't made the playoffs in, like, Lord knows how long, I mean, it's a stepping stone. It depends. It depends on who they're facing. If they're getting knocked out by a dominant team, you know, like the 76ers or the Celtics, and they get knocked out the first round, but they competed, you know, that's one thing. But if they're playing against a team, you know, that, you know, isn't all, you know what I mean, that isn't all that great, and they're just getting blown out, then that's another story.
And you're saying they need to win one game. I mean, one game, that's as good as getting swept also. I mean, one game is not even that big of a difference, to be honest.
Yeah, but at least you have
you know?
That you showed up. You actually showed up for a game, you know.
Yeah,
getting a butt kick.
But you might as well just get swept in that case if you're just
well,
you
one
game.
Get your lottery pick. Get a lottery pick, and make sure you get a good lottery pick.
Nah,
that's
I wouldn't go that far.
If you're not gonna win a game in the playoffs, then what's the point of being there?
I disagree. I strongly disagree with that notion, you know, because this team is not expected to make the playoffs. If they at least make the playoffs, that's an accomplishment. What they do afterwards, I mean, that you shouldn't hold that against them until they get better, you know?
This team hasn't expected to do anything since Van Gundy just up and left us in what was it, 2002. So, obviously anything is an improvement, but they need, come on, we need to build the system the right way. We need to, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying tank. I'm never in favor of tanking. I don't like losing. You know what I'm saying? I've been a Knicks fan since the 90s, man. Try to tell them the Knicks team of the 90s to tank. They always say, if you tell them to tank, they're just gonna pull out an army tank and just blow through the competition. They don't know about laying down or giving up. And you just remind me of another argument. Carmelo Anthony was saying that that his number, you know, should be up there. You know, he'd love to look up there and see his number up there. Do you think Carmelo Anthony should have his number retired?
Hell no.
Okay, I'm with you.
He was here for, how many years was he here for?
I think it was seven. I think he was there for like 6 or 7 years or so.
But he's never, we went to a few playoffs with him, but mm-hmm. we never really did anything, you know.
Exactly.
We won the championship. So, and I don't see him like as a Nick legend. I mean, yeah, he was a Nick, but he's not a Nick legend for me to retire his number. Sorry.
Exactly. And not to mention, you know, Bernard King, I'm trying to remember who else. Starks, Oakley, you know, those guys, their number, Sprewell, Houston.
Yeah.
Those numbers aren't retired.
True.
Those guys need to be retired before you even talk about Melo. And if Melo gets retired, then you might as well retire Stoudemire's number two.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Well, Melo did more than Stoudemire, I'll say that.
But at least
Stoudemire had that great first year, but Melo was longer and was much more of a scorer than Stoudemire.
Of course. And Melo is a, you know, bona fide Hall of Famer.
I mean, Melo did have his clutch moments here and there, you know.
In regular season games, but the problem is that most of the few times they went into the postseason, they got swept, you know, with the exception of that Jason Kidd year in, like, 2013?
Yeah.
And then that, they didn't do anything. Yeah, he scored a lot of points for the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? I like Melo, but these guys from the 90s got to have their numbers retired before anybody in this era gets their number retired.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, Oakley and Starks need to get their number retired before we even talk about Melo. Because if they retire Melo's number, you know, this is just a attention stunt to try. I can't even call it a publicity stunt. Like, this is just a thing to try to attract people to the seats, because there are people who are more deserving, as of right, you know, from their Knick tenure, that deserve their numbers to be hanged up in the rafters before Melo. Would I be angry if he get his number retired? Of course not. I like Melo, you know, but, you know, it's kind of like the WWE Hall of Fame. You know, how's X-Pac going to be a two-time Hall of Famer when The Rock hasn't even made it to the Hall of Fame yet? I mean, yes, it's The Rock's fault because, you know, he didn't want to retire. As of right now, he always was teasing up coming back for a match or so. But come on, X-Rock is a two-time Hall of Famer, man. I don't have a problem with Ric Flair being a two-time Hall of Famer or Booker T. But you know, X-Rock is going to be a two-time Hall of Famer. I mean, should he be a Hall of Famer? I mean, you know, he had a good career, you know. But, you know, it is what it is. But now I'm opening up another controversy now. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like I said, I don't agree Melo should have his number retired. But as far as the WWE, I mean, yeah, Rock should be in the Hall of Fame already. But, I mean, he's going to go in the Hall of Fame eventually.
Yeah, as long as he don't have beef with Vince.
Well, you know, it's something that we just have to wait and see, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think X-Rock should be a two-time Hall of Famer or a Hall of Famer?
No, of course not.
Do you think he should be a Hall of Famer? I mean, he already went in as DX, and he's going to enter as NWO later this year.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't think X-Rock should be in the Hall of Fame at all, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good career. Don't get me wrong. He had a good career, you know, 1-2-3 Kid, X-Pac. But I don't see him as a Hall of Famer. I mean, I knew he was going to go in eventually, you know, because he was, you know, he's cool with DX. I mean, he had a good career. I'm not going to lie and say his career wasn't good. I mean, he was a star in the Attitude Era for both organizations.
Right.
But I think one time was enough, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, him going in DX, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? And even I think even he said that he doesn't see himself as going in as a, you know, like as a person that's worthy as going in as a singles wrestler.
Yeah.
But this dude is a two-time Hall of Famer now. He's going in as DX, NWO. What, he's going to go in with the Click too? Like
has 1-2-3 Kid probably too.
No, but I don't think he sees himself. I don't even think he would even accept singles one. I think he said that if my research is right.
That's what he said now.
But yeah, I mean him. To me, to be honest with you, the NWO, it should have been the original three, and maybe Eric Bischoff. Those are the only people that should have went in as NWO. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, X-Pac was part of the NWO also. But when I think of X-Pac, I think of the DX. You know what I'm saying? So that's just me.
I don't know.
They should have just put what's his name? What was I gonna say? They should just put Bischoff in with them, or mm-hmm. Bischoff as a single, you know, as a, you know, just a executive or something.
The NWO should have just been Hogan, Nash, and Hall. That's it.
And Hall, yeah.
Those are the founding members. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
DX, I mean, yeah, but DX, you should have just put the founding members as well, just Michaels and Triple H. You know, all the other guys were just like factions of that DX group. You know,
they
weren't really part of the original group, which was just Michaels. Actually, it was Michaels, Triple H, and China.
Yeah, and Rick Rude, if you want to put him into the mix too.
Right.
You know, he was there for like, what, a cup of coffee or so?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, New Age Outlaws, I mean, they didn't start off, but they, you know, when did they join? Like 98? So, yeah, they made a huge impact. I don't have a problem with them. And even X-Pac, even going in.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, they put China in there posthumously. So I didn't have a problem with them putting all of those members in there. But him being an NWO, X-Pac, man, is Big Show in it too? I assume not. That would be, I mean,
I don't think so.
Because, yeah, that'd be too extreme, too. Because Big Show should just go in as a singles guy. But, yeah, that's it, really. But, yeah, going to, lastly, WWE, they had, on Monday Night Raw, you know, they had the wedding of Bobby Lashley, you know, trying to marry Lana until it was, you know, interrupted by the shocking return of Liv Morgan. And, you know, for months they were teasing that Liv Morgan was going to pop up on SmackDown as Bray Wyatt's new member of his Firefly Funhouse. Oh, man, my throat was killing me. But what was I gonna say? Yeah, but instead of her appearing on SmackDown, she appeared on Raw. And once they showed the promo that, you know, that she's on Raw, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. She's supposed to be on, you know, SmackDown, you know, with Bray Wyatt. Once they said that, I was like, okay, so I'm curious to see what they were doing. And then sure enough, you know, she pops up, you know, to crash Lana and Bobby Lashley's wedding. And, of course, WWE tried to swerve the fans, thinking that she was saying that Lashley was her, you know, her lover. But then the twist was it wasn't Lashley she was talking about. She was talking about Lana. And that, you know, that shocked, you know, the WWE universe. And then, you know, that led to a brawl between her and Lana. And then, of course, Rusev popped out of the cake and attacked Bobby Lashley. So, you know, what was your thoughts on the whole thing? And do you think this will be the end of the Rusev-Lashley feud?
I don't think it'll be the end of it, but it was comical to watch it. Liv Morgan coming out.
In every sense of the word.
It was hilarious, you know. But I think this is this Lashley and Lana thing will continue up until the Royal Rumble, maybe even up till WrestleMania. Who knows? Maybe you could have a tag team. You'll have a tag team, Liv and Rusev versus Lana and Lashley.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe we'll see at the Rumble probably. So I think it'll continue for a while.
You have a point there. I think you're right. I think that would be the payoff. Royal Rumble, they'll tag team. I didn't even think of that scenario.
Yeah.
Because me personally, I was hoping, you know, once Brock Lesnar comes out to make his presence known that he's still the WWE champion, Bobby Lashley would snap out of this storyline and challenge him. And have that dream matchup. But yeah, you're probably right. They probably need to tap this loose end and have this match at Royal Rumble.
Yep.
You know, between the four of them. So you make a good point. And yeah, Bobby Lashley did the interview recently. He thinks this is the year that him and Lesnar will finally battle it out, because, you know, ever since Lesnar left the WWE after WrestleMania 20, in 2004, shortly after that, maybe like a year later, Bobby Lashley joined the WWE. So then the comparisons between Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, was very apparent. And then not to mention, you know, when Lashley left WWE, you know, they both were in MMA, but they were in different companies. If my memory is correct, I think Lesnar was in UFC. And Lashley was probably in Bellator, probably. And so their paths never crossed until, you know, well, actually, to this day, they still haven't crossed. But since last year, they were both finally in the company together. So you thought surely they would have finally had their paths crossed and finally had this dream matchup, but it hasn't happened. But according to Lashley, he thinks it's finally going to happen this year. And I have to tell you, if it doesn't happen this year, it definitely ain't going to happen, man, because WWE has missed so many opportunities with great wrestlers who never fought each other, like Sting versus Undertaker, Rock versus Shawn Michaels, Brock Lesnar versus Stone Cold versus Goldberg, Stone Cold versus Hogan in a 1-on-1 matchup. Like, you know, there's so many missed opportunities that went down the drain, whether it was because of backstage politics or bad booking with these guys in WWE, having people, you know, having rematches over and over and over again, and they're just limiting, they're preventing opportunities of people battling each other for the first time ever.
Yeah, Lashley could think all he wants, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. That's what happened with Daniel Bryan and Kurt Angle. They were hyping up that these two guys will fight face each other. This last year was the time that it finally was going to happen. It should have happened, and it didn't even happen. So, till it happens, it ain't going to happen. That's just the way it is. Back in the days, back in the Attitude Era, they used to say anything is possible in the WWE, but nowadays it's just the same 50-50 booking with the same people battling each other over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I'm trying to think what else happened on WWE that I could think of. Well, you know, Bray Wyatt's going to be battling Daniel Bryan. He attacked Daniel Bryan again yesterday. Trying to think.
John Morrison
returned, right. John Morrison returned. The Usos returned. Yeah, so looks like Miz and Morrison is going to be back.
Yeah.
Because Morrison was coming out of the Miz's locker room, and looks like Miz is heel again. I think they rushed Miz's heel turn again. Because I think they should have teased them more, Miz and Daniel Bryan as a tag team, you know, competitors, and then have him turn. Instead of him
Miz,
just turning on.
Miz was
on
a tweener anyway, you know. He was never really a face. I mean, he's still kind of a heel. He's been a tweener, you know, for months now.
Yeah, but I'd say these past couple of weeks with Bray Wyatt attacking his family, he turned full baby face. But then this SmackDown, him slapping the pancakes from Kofi, that showed that he had like tweener tendencies, maybe a heel turn. But yeah, he's full blown heel now. Like he usually is. But, I guess we'll see what happens with WWE next week. Anything you'd like to say?
Check out my podcast. Well, like I said on my show on iMac, I'll be soon joining Podbean, and my show will be migrating over there, so I hope to hear you guys or see you guys transition over there in a couple weeks. But just come back and check out Sports of a Legend next Saturday on Box Talk Radio at 11.
And you heard the guy, you know, check out iMac. It's on a new platform. So, you know, give my boy Mac a support there. And of course, come back next week. Check out Sports of a Legend every Saturday at 11, and of course the YouTube channel Sports and Legend TV. You know, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Remo. I'll see you guys next week. Peace and happy holidays. Happy New Year's again. Peace.